This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah! Sorry.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This is why we love the NFL.
Fields takes the snap on the gun, throws the ball up. It's intercepted.
I'll give you the floor on the Bears, Chris.
I feel bad for Justin Fields. I do. I think part of it is him. Like, I don't know if he can ever be the guy.
Today's guests, Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert, YES Network Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay, plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed it, I just learned on the air that the Jets signed Trevor Siemian to their practice squad. I think that was a fun one for everybody to watch me learn that. The vagaries of being on live TV like it's the Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
Damn near half my life right now, but it's all good. Very lucky to do what I do for NFL Network on Sundays and soon to be calling games in London and in Germany. My gosh, the Germany game that I'm going to be calling that's slated for the first Germany game is lit, as the kids say, between the Dolphins and the Chiefs. And then being on the air here every single day, I've got Michael Kay of the Michael Kay Show. He's the one who elicited the Joe Namath soundbite that's proved that Zach Wilson has broken him. He's coming up in hour number three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'll have a conversation here. Speaking of the Miami Dolphins, we always talk about the 72 Dolphins, right? We always talk about the 72 Dolphins, correct, guys? About being undefeated, right?
Only team to do it.
I mean, right? Why are you asking me that
question? No, I know that, but because I bring that up to say we almost had the 73 Dolphins.
Oh, look at you.
Hey, you know what I mean?
Well done.
We had the 70 Dolphins instead.
The champagne on ice?
My goodness gracious. And joining us fresh off of that remarkable performance and remarkable start of the season, not just for the team, but him personally, Purdue Boilermaker in the house, Raheem Mostert here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Raheem?
I'm great. How about yourself, Rich?
I am great. What in the world is it like to be part of a game like the one you were in the National Football League, Raheem Mostert?
I tell you what, it's a lot of fun, Rich. To be able to be out there with the guys, you know, just having fun, doing what we do best, and just enjoying the moment, you know, it's truly something special and something that's going to go down in history. You know, I know that we didn't get the top notch of having the most points scored ever in a game, but hey, you know, to be able to say that we're up there at the pinnacle is definitely something remarkable.
But I mean, you know how tough it is to win in the NFL and how tough it is to come up with points against grown-ass men looking to make sure you do not get a yard, let alone score. 70 points and a 50-point win, Raheem. That is nuts. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's when you think about it, man, it really is crazy, because these are grown men out here that are competing and battling each and every day. You know, and to be able to put 70 points on the board, 50 points, and win, you know, that big of a margin, you know, it's almost unheard of, especially in this league, where it's tough to run the ball, it's tough to even pass the ball, and it's tough to put points on the board in and itself.
You know, and I don't know if you're a talker out on the field. Are you a talker out on the field, Raheem?
I usually like to talk a little bit.
Okay.
I let my actions speak for itself.
But the reason why I ask that is a setup to say, like, do you even stop talking at some point when you're beating somebody like the way you're beating them, Raheem?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you should stop talking. I mean, just tell them to check the scoreboard. I think that's enough that needs to be said.
Right. And so what did you sense from the Broncos defenders in the middle of that onslaught, Raheem?
I mean, I could just tell that the guys were about ready to just be done with the game, as we were. You know, we don't want to keep putting on a show like that. You want to just run the ball out and unfortunately, you know, for them, it was still, they still had to stop us. And even stopping the run, it was kind of tricky for them.
Raheem Mostert of the Miami Dolphins, fresh off of the 70-20 win over the Denver Broncos. You are the perfect guy to ask about the coach here, because you've known Mike McDaniel for quite some time back in your San Francisco days. When was the first time you met him, Raheem?
The first time I met Mike was when he actually joined the staff. I believe in 2017, he was the run game coordinator, and, you know, me and him became very close simply because, you know, I would go to his office and we'd have one-on-one talks about, you know, the upcoming week and the opponent, whoever we played. And, you know, I just try to get little bits and pieces of nuggets that I possibly can to elevate my game. And I just took wind of how Fond, he knew the game so well and how he can literally break down each and every position of the defensive line, what they're, you know, at the week, during the week, what they're going to give us. And, yeah, it just became a great relationship between him and I.
Well, Andrew Hawkins once told a story about him getting some coaching tips from him about footwork and getting off the line with certain footwork and how it will cause you to be open pretty much 100% of the time, and how just that little nuance is something that helped his game. Do you have something like that for me from McDaniel that that he's told you that you've picked up, some sort of detail that you can give the audience here, Raheem?
Yeah. So, you know, when a running back, or I mean anybody that's running a route, and they want to get a little bit of a separation aspect, one thing that he taught me and some of my cohorts is, you know, put your foot down on the same side that you're going to. So hard left to go left, as we call it. So you put your left foot down if you want to do a double up move. Put your left foot down and then put your right foot down, and then you'll explode off that right foot and go left. And then it's this vice versa. You know, if you want to go right, put your right foot down, hard right to go right. So those little things right there, you know, for him to be able to teach guys like myself or the receivers, it just shows you the capabilities that he has and the intellect that he has in order to go out here and help, you know, players produce at a high level.
What about sometimes tossing it to you as opposed to having it handed to you and giving you some sort of an angle? I kind of see that a lot. Yeah. What do you got there?
Yeah. So in regards to like the toss plays, you know, it's still outside zone, but it's almost kind of like a trick play for the defense. You know, when the linebackers are reading their key reads and they see my footwork and it looks like it's going to be a full outside zone play, and really it's not a stretch, you know, that gets them to overplay the play, and then the O-line can basically get them in at the right exact moment in order for them to get their block. So I mean, there's a lot of different things that go on in this offense that, you know, it definitely helps. You know, jet sweep motions also, it just puts a funk in the defenders. So there's a lot of key aspects in the offense that, you know, defenses have to manage.
And in terms of, you know, helping the offensive line, you just mentioned Raheem Mostert about how the offensive line can be helped by the scheme. It sure looks like it's also helped by the scheme with keeping Tua fresh and upright. The ball seems to be getting out. There seems to be even free rushers can't get to Tua before the ball is out. Walk me through how different your quarterback is from this year to last right now, Raheem.
Yeah, you know, last year was just a learning curve for him. You know, he's coming into a whole new offense, a whole new system, something that he's not particularly used to. I mean, even prior to, you know, Coach McDaniel being hired, I know that he had to deal with three additional offensive coordinators. So, I mean, that just puts a funk in a guy's mentality when you have to go from offense to offense, you know, year in and year out, especially the way Tua has been able to, you know, manage those things. And for him to come into this offense, you know, the second go round, you know, year number two, it just shows you how true of a pure passer he can be, a pure, you know, technician out there on that field. Because at the end of the day, that's what you want as a quarterback. You know, you want your quarterback to be someone that can distribute the ball, that can get it out at a proper time, and then also his footwork. I mean, he's taking everything that he needs in his game and he's just elevating it to the next level. More so, you know, his health and the concerns he had last year, when he got hurt and in the concussion against Cincinnati. You know, I hate to bring that up, but, you know, he took this approach this offseason. Hey, I'm going to get better in this aspect. I'm going to protect myself. And he did some jujitsu that is really paying off. If you see the first two games that we had, There was a play, I believe, against the Chargers where one of the D linemen pushed him and he kind of like did like a roll and tuck. This is something that he's been doing this whole offseason. So the guy's just really trying to be a technician in all facets of the game and even more so in his health. And he's taking those steps in order to be great.
Well, he's been in the spotlight clearly for a long time. And he certainly was in the spotlight the minute, you know, he looked off a safety and found Devontae Smith in the end zone for Alabama for a national championship. And everyone thought he's going to go to Miami. And then he did. And then, look, it's clear how many people are looking at Tua and are still even now surprised to see the way that he is playing. As you know, Raheem, you may not know, but you know that's out there. But you may not know. I've been saying he needs to be more salty, Raheem. We need to see the more salty side of Tua, you know, where he says, I don't know about you, but that looks like money. You know, like he talked about the offensive line giving people the middle finger with their play. Like, I need to see more of that. Do you see any of that side of him that he kind of keeps quiet, Raheem? I need salty Tua.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, Tua's he's coming into that game. He's coming into the I'm a little more me now. Okay. I'm more relaxed. I'm more chill. But he also has that winning eager. And if you know anybody that has that winning edge, man, they're about ready to start talking to whoever comes across their path. And you know, as of lately, it's been, you know, the doubters and naysayers for him. You know, he wants to prove people wrong. You know, he's always in the business of proving people wrong, and he's doing a hell of a job doing that.
Yeah, will you tell him, because again, I haven't spoken to him in a bit, and I'm going to see you in Germany when you play that game in Frankfurt, and I'll tell it to him too. I need more salt. I need a chest pound. I need to see the saltiness in him, because I think that he's doing all right, obviously without my advice. But you know what I'm saying, Raheem? I need to see that. I get it.
Yeah, you want. I get it, Rich. You want to see a little more nastiness come up out of him.
Yes. Yes. He's too sweet. You know?
But the thing is, though, with him, he lets his play do the talking. You know, people say he can't throw a deep ball, and then you know, there's a 60-yard bomb to him and Tyreek, you know, on that connection. So I mean, he's doing that talking, but it's just in his play more so.
Okay, Raheem Mostert here. A few more minutes left with the Miami Dolphin running back. So your colleague who also scored four touchdowns this week, I want to say his name right because I heard last night that it's not A-Chain, it's A-Chan. Is that Devin's last name? Is that correct?
Yeah, Devon A-Chan.
Devon A-Chan. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're saying his name a lot right now. How good is this kid, Raheem? You've seen a few.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I mean, the kid is coming in as a rookie, and he's picking up this offense so well. And I've been in this offense, you know, for quite some time now, Rich. And the way that he handles this offense, he's taking criticism. He's taking crap from a vet like myself. You know, I gotta give him some vet,
like
some
what?
Vet love.
Like, what are you saying? What are you saying?
I make sure that the snacks are upright in our room, in our meeting rooms. You know, he has to have some gushers and some sunflower seeds.
Okay.
At times.
Okay. All right.
So I give him a little heckle about that, but
you have standards.
You know, honestly, yeah.
You have standards.
But honestly, you know, he's taking this offense very well. I've seen a lot of rookies, you know, coming into this offense, not understanding the playbook all that well. And for him, he's lights out. I mean, the kid is really, he's going to be special.
Okay. All right. So have we seen, I mean, you did this without Waddle. What the hell? Oh my gosh. So if he was in, would you have scored 90? Is that what happened?
Waddle was in, who knows? You know, he's a difference maker on that field too. You know, I was a little bummed that he wasn't out there. He was bummed too, but I told him, hey man, you gotta get yourself right. You gotta get that health right, and we're gonna need you on the long road. So be prepared to put some points up against these other teams too.
Okay. Now let's just get into this before I let you go here. They were talking about this on the broadcast, that you believe 40-yard dash, you, Tyreek, and Waddle, you win this race. Is that a true fact?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hands down. I win this race.
Okay. I mean, give me more on that. More meat on that bone. What do you mean?
I'll tell you like this, Rich. Yes. When it comes to a race, right?
Yeah.
Tyreek is more of a he's fast. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Tyreek's fast.
Uh-huh.
But I could break down his speed he has more of that quick twitch to him too.
Okay.
For me, I'm more of a long strider. You know, once I get going, mm-hmm. it's hard to catch me. It's hard to, you know, try to beat me. And same thing with J-Dub. You know, he's more of that guy he's in between both Tyreek and I. So mm-hmm. it'll be a good race for sure. But I think I got the upper advantage.
What about A-Chain now that he's in this mix now? What about him?
Yeah, A-Chain's in the mix too. He's more of that off the burst, you know, quick guy. So it's going to be neck and neck. It's going to be, I will say this, we are definitely the fastest team in the NFL. And if we had a 4x1, it didn't matter what position each, you know, player was in, mm-hmm. each person was in, we'd win.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. You know, and again, you're 31, man. This is, you're 31. Wait a minute. I'm talking to a running back who's playing in the NFL and scored 4 touchdowns. and you're over 30. I didn't know that existed. Raheem.
Yeah.
Look at you.
If Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore can do it, I mean, so can I.
Okay. And you're faster than Tyreek Hill. You're faster than Cheetah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Raheem Mostert, I appreciate the time. Send my best to everybody there. Tell again, salty Tua. Tell Tua more salt in his verbal diet. Will you please tell him that for me? I need to see it.
I got you.
Okay.
I'll let him know.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in Frankfurt. That's going to be a great game, obviously, you versus the Chiefs. Certainly, if everybody keeps playing the same way that you're playing. And I look forward to seeing you in person and thanking you for being on the program today.
Likewise, Rich. Appreciate you, man. I think you're doing a heck of a job, too, brother. Keep it up.
I appreciate that. Hey, you're talking about my speed, right? Is that what you're talking about there? My 40, correct?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
To you.
Okay. Yeah.
Your form is just lights out. Like I love when you do the 40 yard dash.
Hold on a minute.
I look forward to those moments.
Okay. Hold on a minute. So
what?
Excuse me. You be quiet. You guys may not chime
in. Watching the right video?
Excuse me. I have got a track and field star from back in the day, wow. And a 31-year-old who says he's faster than Tyreek Hill saying, "What about my form?" I need you to repeat that, please. What is that?
You got some good form, Rick. You got some good form. We could tweak it a little bit to make you a little bit faster. We could tweak it a little bit.
By the way, I'm all ears. I am all ears. Just know I've disappointed so many people. I've disappointed Michael Johnson. I've disappointed so many fast, famous people. I don't want to disappoint you. But you're saying my form is like, it's good, right? It's not.
The arm swing is just is up there. I will say that. Knee drive is perfect. You got a good knee drive. Arm swing, we could work on it, but it's more so about picking up and putting down. That's what you got to work on the most.
Okay. You and I are going to have a chat in Frankfurt, Germany,
unbelievable.
Sir. By the way, I should just like stop broadcasting
this
today. This should be
phenomenal
the end of it.
News. Raheem Mostert, his day.
I think he's still on the fumes of a 70-point game.
It must be.
Thank you, Raheem.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Take care of yourself, Raheem. This has been a blast. We'll do this again, hopefully. You got it. That's Raheem Mostert. Right, you keep up the great work, too. That's Raheem Mostert.
Amazing. Wow. That was a twist I did not see coming. Right?
And O. Henry, like, plot twist at the end.
Just like M. Night. Wait, what? What just happened?
And you thought you saw dead people.
I did. Well, I've seen you run.
So is he. So is he.
Remember a few weeks ago in fantasy, I said Radio Raheem might be him.
He's a track and field star. Let me get this right here. Let me get this right. He was in 100 meters, a 10.68 second 100 meters. Dude.
I mean, you have to be a little bit delusional to think you can outrun Tyreek.
He's not delusional.
And HN.
Don't we have? You have that Field Yates tweet? Do you have that Field Yates tweet from the other day? Put it up. The next gen stats. There he is. He ran. He was ticketed for speeding in a 20-mile-an-hour zone in week 2 in New England. And then you see Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane is apparently how he wants his name to be pronounced.
Devon.
We were saying Devon H.
A-Chain.
Devon A-Chain.
Devon A-Chain.
Devon A-Chain. Well, he's fast.
I was hoping it was Devon so I could yell, "Get the tables, Chris."
It doesn't matter how many times you score. Let me tell you something nice. It doesn't matter how many times you score. or how fast you are. If you're a rookie in the NFL, you better have those sunflower seeds snacks straight up.
Oh, I don't
care.
Yeah. Snacks got to be on point. Don't matter what you're doing.
But when he says straight, do you mean like they can't just be thrown around in the closet or in the box? What does that mean? He's got to be straight.
Personally, I think he meant straight. Like, it's got to be proper. It's got to be on point.
Not legitimately straightened.
I think he meant straight. Like, good.
To make sure that he provides it? That's not Stephen Ross. He's not providing the snacks in Miami.
You know the rookie's got to go pick up donuts.
Gushers are very
coffee.
Specific.
What are those, for those who may not know what a gusher is?
It's like a little gummy thing, but there's like a juice kind of in the middle of it.
But not a Mad Dog Russo gummy.
He's having...
Not a Mad Dog situation.
He looks like that. He's 31 and he runs like that and he's eating gummies?
Well, he can.
Fruit snacks with a little bit of juice in the middle.
Good Lord. If I did that, I'd be large as a house.
You were in college when Gushers first came out.
Oh, is that right?
Early 90s.
Okay.
For Gushers.
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. There is a lot going on in the National Football League, as we know, and specifically in Las Vegas. We did not have enough time to discuss Davante Adams' post-Sunday Night Football loss comments, but that time will arrive. And 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
They put a lot of stuff in the show that's kind of true to life.
Right.
So, like, they have Mafia as a 49er fan. I had that 49er mouth guard. And then you see it in the boxing episode.
That's
I have.
Right.
Because
you've got to be out of your mind right now, right? I mean, this is real. This is real.
I can't believe the whole
business of, like, are they real? Are they for real? They are. They're absolutely for real.
I've been very lucky because one of my childhood friends who I grew up with is the run game coordinator for the 49ers, Michael McDaniel. And he's been a part of Kyle. He's worked with Kyle in Atlanta and in Washington.
And it's not just any run game here. This is a serious, like, we're going to hit you in the mouth, this is what we do type run game.
It just fills me with joy because Mike and I will talk and he'll call me we went to a game last year. My friend Chad and I went to the 49ers-Lions game. And Mike called us as we're driving to the game. And he's like, do you guys want to know what the first play of the game is? And I was like, 100%.
And nice flex.
And I love this. He goes, if the Lions flex left and they put 7 in the box, it's a right side gash to Breida. And Breida took it 65 yards. Watch that game back. It was the first play of the Lions-Niners game.
Wow.
And we're in the stands.
That is a flex.
We're going like this, grabbing each other like, this is the play he said. And you're watching Breida just go. So it's been, not only are the 49ers my favorite team of all time, my favorite sports franchise, but having like a friend like that I know and just kind of, you know, I've met Kyle several times and we're at Mike's wedding together. And it was like that kind of thing where it like, man, come on.
It's fun stuff with Dan Soder and his multiple appearances here on the program. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for everything that you need from our show, which is a good time and a lot of wormhole activity. Don't go on our YouTube page without having the time for the algorithm to kick in. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. David in Texas has been hanging on for a bit. Let's take David's call. What's up, David?
Hey, Rich, I appreciate you taking my call again. I called you last Tuesday, okay. And we're going to call it Timmy Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Boyle needs to start for the New York Jets. As I said to you last week, I said he was underneath your current offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Favre run the offense. And I really honestly believe that Zach Wilson is done. And I loved your reaction after you took my call last week because it was brilliant. You said, I didn't want to talk about it, and you talked about it. And I thought it was awesome.
Well, thanks for the call, David. I appreciate that.
And the other thing I wanted to add is when it comes to the New York Yankees, when the Braves left Wisconsin to go to Atlanta, I became a Yankees fan. And the one thing I will tell you, because I think you made a comment yesterday or the day before about Aaron Judge being the captain and whether his comments are going to go public or not. If you look at the history of the Yankees, all the captains never, ever, ever in the toughest city to be in the media spotlight ever went public with their comments. And I think Aaron Judge will say what he needs to say. And either Cashman goes or Aaron Boone goes. Don't get me wrong. Cashman's done a relatively good job. But I think both of them really need a reality check.
Well,
and Aaron Boone needs to go.
Here's what I'm going to basically predict here. And thanks for the call, David, in Texas. Michael Kay will be joining us from the Yankees playing out the string in Toronto. Top of hour number three, because it was on his show that Joe Namath said he's done with Zach Wilson. And my prediction is Cashman is 1 year into his new 4-year contract, and Boone has 1 year left on his deal. I think they both stay. I think Hal is not his dad. He's going to say Cashman had one really bad year in 25, 30 years, and Yankee fans would say it's a bad year if you don't win the World Series or make it or threaten to make it. I don't think he's going to let either one of them go. And I can't wait to get Michael Kay's thoughts on what he thinks Judge is going to say. I think Judge probably has a lot to say about whatever analytics are being placed in front of Aaron Boone that then manifests itself in their play on the field. And I think Judge is probably really pleased with seeing a lot of these young kids that finally got up into the majors. Of course, Josh Donaldson's going to make the playoffs with the Brewers. And by the way, he's mashing home runs for them.
Of course he is.
That's, by the way, that will only infuriate me. I nearly cursed in front of my 12-year-old son, Cooper, when he was playing all these home runs because he, you know, on the MLB app, he's just nonstop on it, just watching as many highlights as he possibly can. You know, he just turns to me and goes, Dad, you know, Josh Donaldson's doing really good for the Brewers. I'm like, get out of here. Starts playing me all these home runs, and I start seething. I'm like, be a good dad.
Dude hit 160 this year.
Oh, it's just absurd. It's absurd. And but they didn't deserve to make it. They were and every move that Cashman made, Frankie Montas last year hurt. He pushed the Rodon button. He turned into Ed Woodson 2023. Mm-hmm. You know, blowing kisses to Yankee fans who were getting on him. Terrible. A terrible year he had. The back end of the bullpen. I mean, I don't even go in there. We'll talk about it with Michael Kay coming up in hour number three of this program. Davante Adams signs with the or tells the Packers he wants out, even with Aaron Rodgers clearly coming back. Right? That's a fact. I would love to know in a 30 for 30 one day, or maybe when Pat's interviewing Rodgers when he's hopped up on Vicodin, probably, or whatever he's on. you know, to truth serum, like, did you think Davante Adams is coming back? As you know, there's lots of other more pertinent, timely questions to ask of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, true.
But Davante left. Said, I want out. And he goes and gets paid by the Las Vegas Raiders. And he gets hooked up with his BFF from college.
Yep.
And he goes to the Raiders knowing they've just hired Josh McDaniels. And I just wonder if there was any conversation. Hey, I'm going to force my way out of Green Bay so I can come play for Derek Carr. Are we all good? You and DC good? because you're the OC and the HC. You guys good?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that came back. Because I'm telling you, right from jump with Josh McDaniels being there, all I heard from the chatterbox that is known as the National Football League when nobody's got a microphone on them is that McDaniels wasn't a Carr fan and also not a Josh Jacobs fan.
Oh.
Yeah. You heard those rumors. Whether they're true or not, I'm saying it into a microphone, but I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school. Josh Jacobs hardly touched the ball in the preseason. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, which is something that seriously came home the roost this summer, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we learned that either it was untrue that he wasn't a Josh Jacobs fan, or he learned to love him.
Probably the latter.
And that it was either untrue that he wasn't a Derek Carr fan and just was done with him. Something happened in that locker room last fall where, if you remember, after one of the many blown lead losses that the Raiders suffered last year in making fools out of people like me saying that they were going to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West finally. Remember Derek Carr came out tearful saying, you know, basically something's up with everybody in that locker room. Yeah, a handful of us are there.
Go to work every day and what these guys are going through each night.
I want to know about that too under sodium pentothal for somebody. What was that all about? All I know is I'm in the booth, Christmas Eve, chilly night in Pittsburgh.
Chilly?
And kind of windy. All right. It was
brick out.
You were there?
No,
I was in town.
I was in town.
Okay. So I'm in the booth. And Derek Carr throws multiple interceptions in the second half. Kenny Pickett finds George Pickens. Touchdown. Raiders are essentially eliminated from playoff contention. They still have something. And Christmas Day, the next day, I open up my old Twitter machine, back when it was called that.
And you
see that Carr's been told, you're done.
Crazy.
You're done. And then Davante Adams, as we all know, in this non-playing season, made all sorts of comments that he pushed back on eventually, that he's not really sold on what the hell's going on in Las Vegas. The Jimmy G's coming in, and I guess he's the perfect vessel for the good ship McDaniels. I mean, this is what's called in the NFL media world a narrative. But when you keep on seeing results that lead to sound bites that reinforce a narrative, you got to wonder if the narrative is more than just a narrative. Because, as you know, the word narrative is thrown about by those in the NFL who are on the business end of said narrative with the infusion of not all true. It's just the chatter you hear into microphones on shows like this one. This is Davante Adams after the loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, second in a row, on Sunday night.
I don't act like it's all crazy. It's week three, but I don't got time to wait around. It's not a personal thing. I mean, it is a personal thing, but it ain't just about me, but I mean, it's not my mentality to sit here and try to take all season to figure it out. You use these early games like this to establish identity, and we're not doing things the right way to establish a winning culture early in the season, so we got to do something to turn that around. Doing something about it so that when we go out there the next time, it looks different. It's not supposed to just be a week of just talking about it. We got to go out there and do it. That's the theme of this year, is doing it, not just talking about it and figuring out what we need to do. We did all that last year. This year, we got to be about it.
What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, let me say it with a different inflection. What does it mean? Because that was a soundbite from a wide receiver targeted 20 times. 13 catches for a 172 and 2 touchdowns, including a 4th and inch.
Could not be stopped.
Play. that shocked everybody instead of just running it for a first down and continuing to go on. Just a roll of the dice in Vegas, which was a great call by Tirico that night. What's that about? It's not as if he's not fed. Because normally receivers are like, I can be part of the solution if you let me be. He was the only answer that was consistent. So what's he talking about? And who's the one that's talking S? Can't be the quarterback because he wasn't around last year, if he's referring to last year. It's not Jacoby Myers. He wasn't around last year. He was the one who was throwing one to Chandler Jones, who's not around for some bizarre reason. What is happening there? Because I don't have an answer. Do you? Does anybody? Because narratives are narratives. Possibly true. Is it McDaniels not communicating something? Or what does that mean? What he said? Is it just like we're talking about it and he's like, you know, I came here to play with my BFF and the guy who sent him packing is still trying to sell stuff that people aren't buying because either they're not buying because the guy who's selling it is not to be bought from, or the guy who's selling it keeps putting guys in the room who won't buy from him, and he and the guy we brought in to bring into the room are the people who are supposed to buy it from him, and I'm seeing it. I wouldn't buy from them myself. And he doesn't have time for it. Well, guess as the sands run through the hourglass, who's coming into town in week 5 in Las Vegas, Nevada on a Monday night for everyone to see the Green Bay Packers? Oh, boy.
He's going to watch Jordan Love play and just be like, send me back.
I don't know how off that is. Again, narrative, I don't know.
Or he's going to watch Herbie play and go, I want to go there.
In week 4.
Yeah, next coming week.
Right. Well, he's playing in front of a home crowd there, and I know I keep on saying it. I'm not being facetious. This is a Raider town still, in Los Angeles.
Still.
Period, end of story, and I am not stuttering.
Nope.
Okay? So, as I said, Herbert and everybody best be going silent snap in their practices. Because it gets loud in SoFi.
That's going to be a wild game.
It is going to be a wild game because the loser goes to 1-3.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a big week 4 game, man. Loser 1-3. Winner goes 2-2. Gets a division W. Yeah. And if they're 1-3 in Vegas when Green Bay comes into town, how grumpy? That is the grumpiest wide receiver who's been targeted 20 times I've ever seen in my entire life.
He caught everything.
He got thrown everything.
Yeah, well, he had to.
What is going on in Vegas? And by the way, What the Football with Susie and Amy Trask, going to be talking about this very subject as soon as we're done. Get that podcast wherever you get all your podcasts on Tuesday. Because I'd love to know what Amy's thinking, what's Mark Davis thinking, what's all that thinking?
What would Al be thinking?
Well,
fire everybody.
I don't know. I mean, but it's just, they're just 1-2. They are just 1-2.
Still
again,
early.
Just like breathe. But that's not a running. That's not a wide receiver who's saying we have time. Because I'm just wondering if he's thinking October's coming. Trade deadlines are hitting. And his clock is ticking. If he doesn't have any other reason to play there other than to play with his BFF, or I thought part of it was to be closer to the West Coast and family and what have you. There's a lot of West Coast teams that can win you championships if he joins, you know? So, I don't know. But that was just like, what does that soundbite mean? I'd love to know. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Top 5 performances of week number 3. Then in hour number 3, Michael Kay. And then also, what a wild football weekend it was. Wait till you get that top 5 list. It's going to be great.
It could be information to change your life forever. or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
Back here on our show, what's going on? So, what, Rodgers is in a white room?
With black curtains in the station.
Is he? He's not still, is he like in rehab right now? Is that where
he's got? He might be at his house here. And
okay.
I think he lives in the Boo, right?
Yeah, man. I would too.
I think he does.
You know, as a single quarterback.
Yeah.
Did you see Neil Elitrosh go up to Burrow after the game last night? He's a Rams team doctor.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. And Burrow's talking to him. I'm like, oh, of course he is, because he did Burrow's knee. And he did Rodgers' Achilles. And he did Otani's arm this week.
By the way, on Neil's website, there's a video mm-hmm. animation of how he did the
speed bridge.
The speed bridge surgery. It's 10 minutes. I watched it.
It's fascinating, right?
Fascinating.
Is there a 10-minute video on how he did Susie's knee as well?
Oh, let me just double check.
How is there not? She's going to be so pissed. That's right. Rodgers, Achilles, Burrow's knee, Otani's arm, Susie's MCL cleanup. I think it was MCL.
MCL cleanup. We can ask her if she's here, right?
I don't think she's here yet.
Man, I am hoping, because I'm kind of hungry, and so I'm hoping she's bringing
food. Oh, my God. No, I think she's picking up flying saucers from Carvel for the pod, because I believe the brilliant writer Damon Lindelof, who we're friends with, made the huge mistake of taking his Jets against her Patriots.
Oh.
And the flying saucers were on the line.
Oh, wow. How about that?
I believe, but this can be confirmed in the What the Football pod.
I mean, last week she brought croissants, and they're so good.
You'll
so
enjoy Susie's choice of T-shirt for the pod. She's like, how about this for today? I'm like, okay, great. You'll see.
Okay, great.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Let's talk positivity. I feel like there's been so much negativity. Davante Adams is upset. I'm upset. I'm upset.
You should be.
My whole season, I'm watching my quarterback. I'm getting ready. I thought we're getting ready for the Chiefs to go 4-0 after we finally slay Belichick, because Rodgers is teaching him a lesson. Zach's not around anymore, and Zach's there. They're 1-2, and I'm looking at Rodgers lying on some sort of a bed in what looks like hospital clothing. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's happening. It's too much negativity. To use the Patino phrase, negativity in this town.
Seen ghosts.
Yes.
Seen ghosts.
Yeah, I've seen Trevor Siemian, who started in place of the mononucleosist. I just use it as a verb. Yeah, the mononucleosist, Sam Darnold, and he broke his ankle. We're thinking maybe Trevor Siemian could be the answer.
Which is great, is that you'd kill for Sam Darnold right now.
All I'm saying is there's too much negativity. Let's do positivity. I've got my top five standout performances of week number three, presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
You know what? Let's go positive. Let's go young kids. Let's go Tank Dell.
Nice.
Let's go Tank freaking Dell. 7 targets, 5 catches, 145, and a touchdown as the Houston Texans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in Duval. You know, you're thinking the Jaguars lose to the Chiefs at home. Well, that's just because it's the Chiefs, but they're going to reassert their dominance in their division. And in comes C.J. Stroud and this kid, Tank Dell. They might have... I mean, the way C.J. Stroud, he's got over 900 yards passing now, and this kid, Tank Dell, is giving him a target. And you've got rookies all over the map, and the Texans with Tank roll into Duval County and come out with the win.
I weirdly think they're going to win that division.
You never know, man. But Tank Dell, I'm going to give him number five on this list. Just because I like saying the words Tank and Dell together.
Dell's a great name.
TJ loves Tank.
Number four on this list. Number four. I picked him up. I picked him up.
I picked him.
Number four on this list. I gave the top spot on this list last week to the quarterback. I'm giving it to the running back. There are tire tracks all over the Carolina Panthers defense, and the tire tracks belong to Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah, buddy.
This kid in Seattle, he had 18 rushes for 97 yards and two scores, and then 60 yards pretty much in the air. Seattle going back in front of the 12s. They saw them lose to the Rams in a wild week one in which they had only 9 yards in the second half. And the number nine is in front of the number of yards that Kenneth Walker had on the day. And if this kid can start road grading, look out. What a performance by him against Carolina for number four on the list. Number three on this list, he is a third-round rookie draft choice out of Baylor. And Terrell Bernard of the Buffalo Bills became the first player with two sacks, an interception, and a fumble recovery in the same game since Brian Urlacher did it in 2007. In his fourth career start, Bernard led a rampaging Tatanka into the nation's capital and told Sam Howell, young man, this is the National Football League. The first 2 weeks was also the National Football League. But still, we are going to tell you there will be days like this. And the Buffalo Bills defense, led by Terrell Bernard, came up with a 37-3 win. That is one of the most standout performances of the year defensively, and I'm giving it to this rookie. Number two on this list, I can't just give it to one, so I'm giving it to both. What a pass and pass-catching combination Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen were in Minnesota. Dude. With the season on the line. These two guys staring 0-3 right in the face. Herbert threw 400 for 405 yards and three touchdowns, and of the 405 yards, 215 were Keenan Allen's, who had 18 catches and a touchdown pass himself. OMG. Of course, there was a Brandon Staley decision that almost flushed the whole damn thing down the toilet, but they survived that, and they are 1-2, and just when this team needed it, Herbert to Keenan Allen was unstoppable and up there on par with Tua to Tyreek Hill in week one against them. Those numbers are even, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Tyreek had 215 in week one, and the 405 is better than Tua's 366. What a performance. But number one on this list, I cannot give it to one, can't give it to two, can't give it to Tua. I'm giving it to the whole darn entire Miami Dolphins offense. All of them. They were training, as you could see. Look at this. They were dancing. They were doing everything. We had Marie Mostert on earlier, and he even said he stopped talking to the Broncos. He says, I'm a talker during the game. He stopped talking because the 70 points, the most since 1966 in an NFL game, 726 total yards. That is stunning. Stunning to see in a league where, as you know, offenses are usually behind defenses early on. The Dolphins' offense, this was without Jalen Waddle, a 1,000-yard receiver. That is the top standout performance of week number three on this list.
Right, we need one more.
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Kickers have outstanding performances too. And with Justin Tucker, potentially, I believe, future Hall of Famer in the house, coming up one yard shy
so close
of a 61-yard field goal to win the game for Baltimore, there was a guy who set a record for kicks in a game. Matt Gay of the Indianapolis Colts had not one, not two, not three, but four kicks of over 50 yards, including the one to send it into overtime and the one to win it into overtime. And he also had a 30-something yard field goal early on in the game that he didn't know if he was kicking because they threw him out there on the field. Yeah. And then there was a lot of substitution going on. And then the Ravens caused them to, you know, have a delay of game because they used the rules properly to substitute themselves back late. And Gay had no idea. And then he had to go out and kick a field goal, and he did it. He made 5 of 5, including 4 from 50 or more. That's a record that's never happened in the National Football League, as the Indianapolis Colts with Gardner Minshew go into Baltimore and come out with the win. And those are my top 5 standout performances of week 3, presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Whether you enjoy Caribbean beaches or delicious dining options, the spa, or riding Bolt, the first roller coaster at sea, Carnival makes it easy to plan a vacation where everyone can choose their own kind of fun, because no one does fun like Carnival. There you have it.
Matt Gay had 24 fantasy points. That's probably more than
Zach Wilson.
80% of the league.
Speaking of which, the 70 points that the Dolphins had, remember I said that if the Bucs don't score 23, that gives 16 teams in the National Football League who have fewer points than the Dolphins had on Sunday all season?
Yeah, the Bucs.
That's now 16. So the Bucs are now on that list. If the Rams don't score 17, they'd be on that list. They scored exactly 17.
Wow.
So they have 70 points on the season. And if the Bengals don't score 43, they're also on the list. They didn't. So the grand total number of teams with fewer points on the season than the Dolphins had on Sunday, 70. 17 teams in the National Football League, including one that has exactly 70 in the Rams. Holy cow. Michael Kay coming up for hour 3.
I think Zach Wilson had 8 fantasy points.
Oh, dude, stop it. Oh, I'm in a good mood. I should be in a good mood. I finally won a fantasy week.
Hey, I won my fantasy baseball championship.
Did you really? Congratulations.
Thank you. Very happy.
Cooper and I won 16 straight weeks and then lost in the playoffs.
Ugh, sorry.
It's all right.
I had finished 2nd 3 years in a row.
Congratulations.
So I almost Buffalo Bills did.
What do you, wow. What do you get for that?
I get a t-shirt.
What?
The guy who's the commissioner makes t-shirts for the winner each year.
So what's that?
Excited.
Is that it?
That's
right.
Ed O'Neill is confused.
Well, and it's the same group of guys that I do the fantasy football league that you hate with, and I'm the first one to ever win the football title,
hey,
the basketball title, and the baseball title.
It's like a three-peats. You know
I'm
what that is?
Happy.
It's the most schmucky EGOT ever.
Yes. And I'll take it. I'm very
sad. Like a schmucky EGOT.
I'm very proud of myself.
But in all seriousness, it's a 6-month fantasy league. Where you
got to
pay attention
every day.
And you get a t-shirt for winning? All you get is a lousy t-shirt?
That's it.
Are you serious?
I might make myself a trophy, to be honest.
You should get something, a little something for the effort.
I might make a 6-foot trophy.
You should? One for each month the fantasy season lasts. You got to really focus on this.
Fantasy baseball is so long.
What does the t-shirt say?
I have no idea.
Is it at least a good cotton fiber? Is it at least a good made of...
Doubtful.
Oh, no.
Doubtful.
Hey, guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.